Our churches have to stop having football stadium dynamics. Here's what I mean. In a football stadium, you have 50,000 people or more in the stands desperately needing exercise, watching 22 people on the field who desperately need rest.
You may have heard it said that in most churches, 10% of the people do 90% of the work. It's true, but it doesn't have to be. Hello and welcome to Destined for Victory with Pastor Paul Shepherd, Senior Pastor of Destiny Christian Fellowship in Fremont, California. Well, if you've listened to Pastor Paul for any length of time, you know that he very seldom minces words. He's a loving pastor and teacher who cares about people, but he cares enough to speak the truth boldly and clearly so that all of us might be spurred on towards good works. That's what today's message is all about. If you can't stay with us, visit PastorPaul.net to hear any recent Destined for Victory message on demand. That's PastorPaul.net. And stay tuned after the message for a special word from Pastor Paul. Now, let's join him for today's message, Making the Most of What You Have.
Let me help you understand something that a lot of people have missed in the scriptures. It's found in Ephesians chapter 4. And this will really help put in perspective what my role is and the role of people like me in the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 11, it says, "It was he," speaking of Christ, "who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers." Now, a lot of us think that's it. Those are the ministers. But look at what it goes on to say. He gave those categories of people, why? Verse 12, "to prepare God's people," that's you, "for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up." See, we are called to be coaches and equippers. The ministry is really done by you. This is a holy huddle. This is all of us getting together, getting our instructions, getting our act together, having the Holy Spirit point out through the Word what's still not right in our lives, what He wants to correct and purify and change, and getting us together and giving us our marching orders so that when we leave church, when we stop listening to the message that blessed us, we now go out and practice, do what God says, and we are equipped, He said, or prepared for works of service. All of us do the ministry. And so we got to get away from that old model of there are a few ministers and then the rest of us watching them do all the work. We pull on them so that they can come minister to us. No, they're ministering to you that you might get right with God and then that you might go out and help others get right with God by the way you serve. That's our job, to equip you. My job as a pastor teacher is to do permanent damage to your ignorance. If you come to this church and don't learn anything, don't get any new information, don't get equipped, you ought to leave and find somewhere where you'll get equipped. I wouldn't sit up somewhere week after week and not know anything more, not be more motivated, not be more inspired, not be more informed. I wouldn't do it, because the job of that person is to help me be prepared so that I can live a life that brings God glory. We cannot afford, if we're going to get the will of God done in our generation, our churches have to stop having football stadium dynamics. Here's what I mean. In a football stadium, you have 10, 20, 30, 40, 50,000 people or more in the stands desperately needing exercise, watching 22 people on the field who desperately need rest. And that's what happens in a football stadium. But it's not supposed to happen in the kingdom of God. We're not supposed to sit back and eat popcorn and watch the superstars. We're supposed to be equipped and called and nurtured and sanctified and set apart and cleansed and get our act together so that we can go out and do the work of the ministry. That's what will result in the saving of souls, the changing of lives. We've all got to do our part. And so the Bible is clear that God has given all of us abilities, and we now have to set aside time to use those. And so you find a ministry in your church or in a neighborhood Bible club, whatever it is. But most churches, at least that are really serious about fulfilling the Great Commission, as they are constantly looking out at needs we can meet, then they need folks who will say, yes, I will be part of the ministry team of that church. You don't have to hire me. I have my own job, or God's blessed me with other income, but I will volunteer 2, 4, 6 hours of my time a week. Whatever the particular ministry you get involved in requires, I will give some time weekly or regularly so that I can be serving others in the name of God. Dedicate your time to ministry. Here in our church, every several months, we put out a booklet that's called Are You on the Team? And we list hundreds of needs waiting to be met, ministries that are understaffed, waiting to be met. Guess what? All that we need is right in the house. But we've got to decide, yes, God has called me to be on the team. I don't have to pray and fast about it. All I got to do is look at the fact that he has put the giftings and abilities in me, and he has blessed me to have the time. You have time and ability, that equals ministry. And so I go and I say, yes, I will be part of what God's doing. I will be part of seeing him continue to save souls and change lives and make a difference for both time and eternity. And I want to encourage you to understand that this is God's will. Remember, all of us are going to give an account. This passage says that when the master returned, he returned to settle accounts. My job is to help you be ready, so that when you're standing before the Lord on that day, you are ready to settle the account. You're not saying, oh Lord. You're not panicking. You're not worrying that you are going to be judged because you were an unprofitable servant. You come before the Lord with excitement, knowing that I have, by his help, I am giving him a good return on his investment. That's what I've got to equip you to do. And so that's why we must set aside time. It's like anything else. You don't say, I don't have time. You make the time. Time is not had. Time is made. People who are fruitful and productive and get a lot done in their lives, they have no more time than you have, and they have no more ability. They have different abilities, but no more ability. You have time. You have ability. So you have the opportunity to make a difference for God. And I want to encourage you to do just that and to realize that the Lord is expecting out of your life a return on his investment. Don't get spooky and spiritual about it, overly so. Just recognize that if the gifting is there and you can make the time in your schedule, then you find the need in your church or in some ministry organization and you say, here, you can count on me. I will be a solid volunteer so I can use my giftings, whether it's in children's ministry or outreach ministry or helping with addicts who are now in Christ and getting free from their addictions, or I'll be an altar worker or a prayer intercessor or whatever it is. I'll be a greeter. God's given me a great smile. I'll greet people in Jesus' name. I'll be an usher. I can't use mean ushers. So if God's given you a great smile and a great persona and you can greet people and make them feel special, you don't have to pray and fast. Find a ministry where some sort of customer service can come through and you can be God's customer service agent and help people understand that God loves them. In my former church in Philadelphia years ago, we had a lady. She had the greatest heart, but she had the meanest face. She did. Great heart, mean face. And she became an usher. True story. I was the associate pastor. I wasn't a senior pastor. One day, I went to the usher leader and I said, tell me what's your impression of this sister and how she serves. I said, well, pastor, you know, she's a good sister and what have you, but there are some folk who just wonder why we have a mean usher. I said, yeah, that's what I kind of thought, because, you know, those of us who knew her knew she had the love of God in her heart. It just never showed up in her face. And so I went to the pastor, said, there's an usher. We want to make an adjustment and just want to make sure it's all right. He said, no, no, y'all do what you need to do. And so we went and we sat aside, said, baby, we love you and thank God for you being in this church, but I need to help you find another area of ministry. And here's why. I know you're a loving person. I've gotten to know you and all. But, you know, your facial expressions And I was trying to find a way to kind of share it with her. But I got it out, and she said, "Pastor, I've had other people over the years tell me about that. Even before I came to this church, I knew that. And people say, you look so mean. You just look like you want to tear somebody's head off." And she said, "But I know in my heart that I don't feel that way." I said, "And we know it too, and I want to affirm you. We know you're a loving woman, but there's some ministries where you don't have to have a certain kind of faith in order to be effective, and that's where we're going to move you." She had the right attitude, and she let us shift her on out of the usher's team because she wanted to give God a good return on his investment, and ushering wasn't cutting it. And for some, it's not a face, but it's, you know, some other issues. They got a little edge on them, their words and what have you, phrases. You got to find how God has equipped you. If you don't know how to speak, there are certain ministries that aren't for you. You can find, though, in every church, in every ministry organization, there is something that your set of gifts will allow you to do and do well to glorify God and advance the kingdom. And that's what we've all got to find. Find our unique place in God's plan, because every one of us has such a place. And until we step in that place, there'll be some ministry that's going undone. There's some needs that are going unmet because we haven't stepped into place. And so I want to encourage you to make sure that you have set aside the time and investigated, where do I fit in the plan of God for my life? Here's the way Peter put it in 1 Peter 4:10. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Each one of us, without exception.
Stay with us. The second half of today's Destined for Victory message is straight ahead. You know, right before he ascended into heaven, Jesus told his disciples to go out into all the world and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's our mission here at Destined for Victory, to share this good news with a world that so desperately needs to hear it. You can help. To make a safe and secure online donation or to shop our online store for a host of great resources, please visit PastorPaul.net. That's PastorPaul.net. And now you can also watch selected video clips by subscribing to Pastor Paul on YouTube. For more details on that and links to all of Pastor Paul's social media sites, including Facebook and Twitter, be sure to visit PastorPaul.net. All of us have been given certain gifts and abilities, talents that equip us for some type of ministry in the body of Christ. Here's Pastor Paul with the second half of today's message, Making the Most of What You Have.
Peter says, each one of us should use whatever gift we receive to serve others. You got to make the decision. I am going to volunteer my time. Now listen, let me help you understand something. When you are a volunteer, but your plan, your goal is to please God, you got to treat it like it's a real job. You don't say, "Well, they're not paying me." God is paying you. Don't volunteer for a ministry and then you don't show up half the time. Don't call anybody. Don't check in. Don't let them know what's going on in your life. Treat it seriously. In fact, that's how many of us were trained who are now in vocational ministry. My dad wouldn't have thought about putting me in vocational ministry till I had passed a few tests. The first was the Sunday school test. And they started me out teaching a Sunday school class with no classroom. Just put some chairs out and said, "That's your class. Fill it. Go find some folk, ask them, do they want to learn the word of God? Sit them down and teach." And then they'd watch me learn how to teach. And then from there, I had to pass the deacon test and be a deacon. And my job as a young deacon was, they decided to give me the job of taking a lady who lived the farthest from the church home every Sunday afternoon. She lived so far out of town, I don't even know what that town was she lived in. I don't even know its name. That's the truth. And it was my job as a young deacon to drive her home every Sunday afternoon. This is after early morning prayer, Sunday school, morning service that was long. Y'all got it made. Trust me. Y'all got it made. I see some of y'all every now and then looking at the watch. And I feel like saying, "Oh, please." You got it made in the shade, drinking lemonade. When we're getting out of here, that was about halftime where I came from. That's just a little stretch break. Go out, get your little hot dog, a little something. And so early morning service, Sunday school, long morning service, and then had dinner after service down in the fellowship hall. And the saints would eat and fellowship. And this sister, bless her heart, she wanted to stay to the bitter end. She just sitting there fellowshipping and laughing. And I'm standing over in the corner waiting to see when she's going to be ready to go. Here I am, a young man, single man, trying to get my Mac on. I got some things I want to do with the rest of my day, and I'm held up by this sister. This day before a cell phone, you couldn't even talk to your girl while you driving. You just had to do what you do. And so I'm just standing there waiting. But what I didn't realize is the saints were checking me out to make sure I took seriously my assignment. They didn't give me gas money. They expected Jesus to put gas in my tank, I guess. I don't know what they expected, but they sure didn't give me gas money. They wanted me to prove faithful. Every now and then I'd have to just kind of walk up and say, Sister Barker, how you doing? Oh, yes, son, yes, you're ready. I'm ready to go, yes. And she'd say goodbye to all the saints and what have you, put her in the car, and she would sing. She was a singing little sister. She'd just sing and clap and just worship all the way to her house. I'd be thinking, why don't you worship up some gas money? But oh, how I thank God for those years. Because they taught me, you're not in it for what you get out of it. You're in it so you can glorify God and help other people. And I want to say to you, that if you will take seriously your ministry opportunities, your volunteering of your gifts and your time so that the kingdom can be advanced, then God will reward you by blessing the remainder of your time and the use of your abilities. And the Bible says God will actually bless the work of your hands. I submit to you that if you'll put the kingdom first and be a dedicated volunteer, or unless they bring you on to the paid ministry staff, but whatever, whether paid or unpaid, if you'll take it seriously, the Lord himself will reward you. God will bless you on your job because you put the kingdom first. God will bless your company, the company you work for, because you put the kingdom first. You don't believe me? Look at some incidents. Joseph was in jail. That's all he could do, was minister to folk in jail. You know the story. He's in jail because Sister Potiphar wanted to sleep with him, and he had too much integrity and turned her down. And so she accused him of attempted rape, and Potiphar threw him in jail. Now, first of all, that was the hand of God, that Potiphar didn't kill him. He was such a man of God, so faithful, and God had a plan for him that the Lord's providence did not allow Potiphar to kill him. Now look at the circumstance. Joseph is a slave from a foreign country. He's not an Egyptian citizen. He's not even considered a person in Egypt. He is a piece of property. So if Potiphar really believed that he attempted to rape his wife, Potiphar could have killed him and there wouldn't have even been a trial, because he wasn't a citizen. It'd be like killing an animal before the days of Peter. You know, it wouldn't have been a thing at all. And so when Sister Potiphar accuses him of attempted rape, the Bible says Potiphar got angry, but watch the providence of God, because this is a young man of integrity. God says, I have plans for him. I'm not going to let this man kill him. Now, you know, if you really think in those days you're an Egyptian, you're a pagan, you don't know anything about God, and your slave tried to rape your wife, you know there'd be a whole lot of dead folk laying out in the streets. But Potiphar throws him in jail. That's the providence of God. God will turn the course of your life because you put the kingdom first. Things that would have happened to you won't happen to you because you put the kingdom first. So now Joseph's in jail. And when you get to Genesis chapter 40, one day the king's butler and baker, who were in jail because they offended Pharaoh. Bible doesn't tell us what they did to offend him. I don't know if the baker cooked something bad or whatever it was, but they offended Pharaoh, and he threw the butler and the baker in jail. And one day, their faces are downcast, and Joseph asked them, why are you so dejected? And he says, Genesis chapter 40, verse 8, they say, we both had dreams, and there's no one to interpret them. Then Joseph said, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams. He's in jail, and yet he's saying, I don't like my circumstances, but is there a way I can serve you down here? And he hears that these men have dreams and they're troubled by the dreams. And he says, I'm believing the same God who gave me a dream is going to allow me to interpret theirs. He says, tell me the dream. And there he is in jail serving God under those difficult circumstances. What excuse do you and I have? We all have the opportunity to serve God. So you may not be making the money you want to make, but on that job, you can encourage somebody. You can use your giftings and your ability to bless somebody. You can help somebody, and God will reward you, and he'll bless you. God is liable to do anything if you will just put the kingdom first.
Thanks so much for being with us today for Pastor Paul Shepherd's message, Making the Most of What You Have. You know, almost every day we hear from people that are listening to us for the first time, and it strikes me that there may be some of you that really don't know much about Destined for Victory. So I thought it might be a good idea to invite Pastor Paul into the studio for just a moment to talk about that. So Pastor Paul, thank you for coming in here. Tell us about Destined for Victory and why you believe this is an important ministry.
Yes, Wayne, I believe with my whole heart that Destined for Victory is a God thing. In 2011, I did not have a radio ministry, didn't have a media ministry, and I wasn't sure I would ever have one. But the Lord showed me in no uncertain terms that he wasn't done using my ministry to reach the world. Now we're reaching people on more than 400 radio stations. We're reaching people on the internet. We now have YouTube presence. And I believe God's going to help us use every form of media to share the life-changing message of Jesus Christ with the world.
You know, I love radio, and it's amazing how God puts people in front of the radio at just the right moment to hear the word that they need to hear in their life at that time.
He certainly does. I've heard from people who said, literally, I heard from someone who said, I was taking my children to school and I was going to come home and kill myself.
Oh, no.
And when I got home, I turned on the radio and you were saying, don't give up. Mm. Whatever you do, don't give up. And the Lord used that particular broadcast to change this person's life. And they wrote in to testify, I'm alive because of Destined for Victory. That's the kind of thing God does. And I'm so excited about us using these forms of preaching the gospel so that others' lives are changed as well.
Thanks for that encouraging word, Pastor. You know, testimonies like the one Pastor Paul just shared remind me that Destined for Victory is making the most of what it has, taking the blessings of God and using them to bless others. But we can't do that without your help. Your gifts make it possible for stories like this to be told, for lives to be changed, and in some cases, saved. Whether you're a current donor or someone who has given to Destined for Victory in the past, we want you to know that your donations are having an impact that echo in eternity. As our way of saying thanks for your generous gift today, we'll be happy to send you a copy of Pastor Paul's booklet, 7 Pounds of Grace. One of the gifts Jesus came to give you is the gift of pardon. When you accept Christ as your Savior, you have all of your sins, past, present, and future, wiped out. In 7 Pounds of Grace, Pastor Paul shares the good news that in Christ there is no guilt, no condemnation. The moment you are saved, it is just as if you never sinned. Again, it's called 7 Pounds of Grace, and it's our gift to you by request for your generous donation to Destined for Victory. So please call 855-339-5500 to make your gift over the phone. Or mail your gift to Destined for Victory, Post Office Box 1767, Fremont, California, 94538. You can also make a safe and secure donation from our website, pastorpaul.net. Well, in the kingdom of God, the only ability you need is availability. Here's Pastor Paul.
He's not asking you for what you don't have. He's saying, what do you have in the way of treasure? What do you have in the way of time? What do you have in the way of talent? That's what I want to use for my glory. That's what I want to use to bless others. And you will find that in that is the key for your blessings as well.
That's tomorrow in Pastor Paul Shepherd's message, Making the Most of What You Have. Until then, hold on to this promise. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. In Christ, you are destined for victory.